Hello again, everybody out there in wrestling land, and welcome to another edition of Ring Respect Radio right here on the Video Bros Network. I am Bobby Munson, and I am joined by the man with the angelic voice. He is Papa Smokes. How you doing, Papa Smokes?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Bobby. How's everybody doing out there?
Hope everyone's doing well, having a good old time, watching some wrestling on TV, because there's a lot of wrestling to choose from these days, Bob Smokes. As on our last episode, we did a big review of MLW. They're back up and running. It's been excellent to see them. But today on the show, we get to do some more reviewing. We had lots to review lately, and we're going to be reviewing our friends over in Alberta, Southern Alberta Invitational Review coming up here today. And then we're going to get over to NWA Shockwave, something you and I have been looking forward to for a long time, the NWA back in action. Lots to talk about, but before we do, we're going to go ahead and ask you to do us a favor. Like the video down below, subscribe to the video and our channel, and also hit the notifications bell that's right beside it. That way, you'll be the first to know when we release new material on the Video Bros Network, particularly new episodes of Ring Respect Radio that we are trying to bring to the fans as often as possible. It's been great. Lots of content to go through lately, Pop Smokes.
Yeah, like we were talking about before, finally some new stuff to watch, and we've just been diving into it, and it's fun to be able to talk about it on a podcast and maybe spread some awareness to some of these shows that other people can watch, other fans can get into, just like we have.
Definitely so. So we're going to also mention heading on over to check us out. If you like what we do here, you can also check us out with our friends at Backbreaker Media over on Podbean, as well as on their YouTube channel. They do our show and help boost us over in the Alberta scene. And a lot of that's come with that great connection between Saskatchewan and Alberta, Papa Smokes. We've been making a great connection there. A lot of friends that you and I have made through working with Prairie Pro Wrestling and previously our time with HIW as well, too. And getting to know a lot of people over there. So great opportunity for us to talk about the Southern Alberta Invitational Tournament that is up and available on YouTube. There is a video. It's the quarterfinals up there. And then afterwards, you can find a separate video for the semifinals and the finals matches available on YouTube through our good friends over at the Wrestling Rodeo site, Wrestling Rodeo, one of the hosts of the Southern Alberta Invitation Tournament, as well as the WrestleSode podcast, so our good buddies over there, and then also the other PPW, Pure Power Wrestling, the other sponsor for the show.
Yeah, and we have for the Northern Alberta Invitational Tournament last year, didn't we have a good time on that? That was really good. I guess not last year, earlier this year. This year just seems like a blur to me now. This was one of the first new events that was available to watch once the first lockdown happened back in March and April. So we had a good time reviewing that. A lot of great matches and great talent on this. So I was also excited to watch the Southern Invitational Alberta tournament here. And we got the quarterfinals set up here, and let's get into it, Bob.
For sure. And before we do, just want to commend them on making sure that they reiterated the fact that they are complying with all of the Alberta health officials' COVID-19 compliances. So everything that they were doing was behind closed doors. There was no fans available there. So any of the cheering, anything like that you hear is through the select people that are there working that day. So they have a very select amount of people. I believe that they would have complied with social distancing, and anybody that is working there that isn't the two competitors inside the ring, we're all complying by wearing masks as well too. So yeah, our friends in Alberta doing a great job of complying with COVID-19 rules while still trying to do something to entertain fans here in a, you know, uncertain, unprecedented time.
Yeah, this I thought this looked very good. I think it was taped in Lethbridge, and they had a facility there that they had a ring set up in, and this looked quite satisfactory for the purpose that was needed for this tournament here. And it was nice and bright in there, and yeah, like you said, there were some people watching the matches, probably other wrestlers and some staff or whatever, but only on the one side of the ring. And we just got to be careful these days, and Nobody wants anybody else to get COVID. Nobody wants to be the cause of a breakout or anything like that. So I'm glad these guys are being careful about it and everything. And some other companies don't look like they're being as careful about it, but these guys looking good during COVID and just happy to have a new product to watch.
Definitely. So as you were saying, let's kick things off. You know, they started this thing off immediately with having a little bit of a video vignette leading into a promo with the Thickness Reed Matthews, someone going by to hand deliver him an invitation to the Southern Alberta Invitational thing. So obviously, right off the bat, selling the idea that the Thickness Reed Matthews is definitely one of the bigger names, certainly going into this tournament tonight.
Yeah, I haven't seen this guy's work yet, but I have heard a lot of chit-chat on social media about Reed Matthews, and I've been quite curious to see. And yeah, we got a couple of his matches in this tournament tonight, starting up with a first-round match against Dewey Robson, someone I haven't seen before, and was anxious to see. What did you think of this match, Munson?
This one started off things nicely. I definitely liked it. Again, I didn't know anything about Dewey Robson, and the same, I've heard things about Reed Matthews. I had not seen his work and stuff. And just like with the Northern Alberta Invitational, this was an opportunity for us to put some eyes on some talent we haven't seen before. And there was some standouts in there that you and I both were unfamiliar with the work of prior to that. And once again, being exposed to some guys that, you know, it was great to see. And you know, Reed Matthews looks like a very sizable boy in there. He gets in. He's got some nice work. He's very agile for a guy his size as well, too. And, I mean, Dewey Robson gave him one hell of a fight inside that ring as well, too.
Yeah. This was a back-and-forth match. It was a fairly long match as well. And, the Thickness Reed Matthews, obviously pretty good ring skills. I think they mentioned that he might have been one of the Lance Storm graduates, so you know he's got some good training there too, but he's also got a big personality, and this helps a lot in wrestling. And he interacted a whole lot with the crowd. He got some of the biggest pops of the evening too, so Reed Matthews looking good, looking like a possible breakout star for Western Canada in the next little while. And I liked this match a lot, and it had me looking forward to his next round match in this tournament.
Certainly, yeah. So definitely a great way to kick off this tournament. Very exciting way, too. And our eyes on two talents we hadn't seen before. So great way to start things off. And then we roll into one, and I know that we're probably a little bit more familiar with one of the guys in the next matchup. But before we start talking about Travis Cole in general, let's just talk about his opponent of the night, Tony Machete. I knew nothing of this guy prior to going into this one. I'm not sure if you did, Papa Smokes.
I did not, but as the commentators informed us, this guy's fairly new. He's in his first year or two of wrestling, but I was impressed with the way he came out. This guy's got a body on him. He's been working hard in the weight room, obviously, and cut a very nice visual figure when he came out, so already I was looking forward to this.
Me as well, too. I definitely like the look of this kid, and when I heard that he was brand new like this, I'm like, okay, good. He's got a good look. He's got, you know, great ring presence and stuff like that. I think we could be looking at somebody definitely that could be, you know, down the line, someone we be taking a look at, and hopefully maybe even one day seeing over on the Saskatchewan side once things get back to a little bit of normalcy as well, too.
Yeah, we'll have to think about that. Maybe at the next Prairie Pro Wrestling meeting, we'll have a couple more names to bring up for possible crossovers.
Definitely so. But his opponent of the night, Travis Cole, a little bit, you can talk about Travis Cole here, Papa Smokes, get people into this one, but I think maybe we've got a little bit of a tasty story to share with the fans here tonight.
Well, sure, I've seen tasty Travis Cole a number of times live over the past few years. I've seen him in action a number of times, including taking tickets at the door, working the merch table, and selling 50-50 tickets as well. But I'm joking a little bit here. He has come a long way since then. I've seen a few of his matches when he used to be based in Winnipeg, and This guy has uprooted himself and gone to Calgary now and the general Alberta wrestling area, and has made a lot of leaps and strides in his wrestling skill and move set and all that stuff too. So a fine looking kid. I think he gets the whole wrestling biz. I like his character of Tasty Travis, which is kind of a little noncy boy there kind of thing, and he gets reaction from the crowd. He's good. Yeah, he seems to be playing the baby role in this particular promotion here, this tournament, and the fans like him. The fans take to him, so he's gonna be in here. He's gonna be in this match against Tony Machete, the rookie sensation, so to speak. And this is like a little bit of a veteran against a newbie here, and they put on a pretty good match.
Yeah, and definitely a great way to sell the idea that, again, Travis Cole, obviously one of the bigger names in this tournament, and they really sold the idea that, again, this is a guy that you should be focused on and everything like that. Had a great match with Tony Machete. Didn't make him look bad, especially being that he's as new as he is, too. In fact, if nothing, helped kind of elevate him and get him in front of, you know, some eyes that have never seen this kid work just yet. So a great way to, you know, get introduced to a new name, but at the same time continue to elevate Travis Cole, who already has put in a lot of the work and, you know, is obviously a star, especially in the Western Alberta scene, or Western Alberta, Western Canada scene is what I should be saying.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, I think it's a good idea to put Tony Machete on this program too. They'll get some eyes on him. And like we both said, this guy looks good coming out to the ring. He's got some work to do in terms of maturing as an in-ring performer. But like I say, he's done a lot of the work already. This guy's got a real impressive-looking physique. He's got a cool-looking character and everything. And he looks the part of a star wrestler. So I think it'll just be a matter of time before this guy gets there.
I agree in this. So Travis Cole obviously picked up the victory. He's moving on. But yeah, obviously, I mean, for us, we could go on forever about the impact that Tony Machete had. But we do have to move on. Obviously, he's out of this tournament, and we'll get to see more from him in the future, hopefully. But moving on from there, next round match, we had Sydney Steele versus Mo Jabari. First of all, we'll get into Mo Jabari, but Sydney Steele, do you know a lot about Sydney Steele? Pop Smokes.
No, not much at all. This was another guy that impressed me. Even from his entrance, he had the grand sounding kind of movie music. He had a nice cape. He's got the long hair. He's got a pretty good, pretty strong looking physique on him too. And just started interacting with the crowd in villain style. And I was along for the ride with this guy as soon as he came out, looking quite good. And then facing Mo Jabari, a guy that we're quite experienced with from our days in HIW, and he used to be under the moniker Kid Chocolate, a really nice guy, a really good wrestler, and it was nice to see him again. I wish we could see him around these parts a bit more often.
I agree with you, but definitely Mo Jabari comes out, and this is a different attitude for him. I mean, remember the fun, love, and happy-go-lucky Kid Chocolate personality that we got so familiar with here, and then you see him come out, Mo Jabari comes out, and this is definitely a darker attitude. He's a lot more focused, a lot more, you know, prepared, I think, in so many ways. This guy has gone around and done a lot with many different companies and really brought it inside that ring. This was, you know, probably one of the, you know, I'll go out on a limb. I think this was probably the match I enjoyed the most from the quarterfinal matchups, definitely.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that. It was really competitive. There was lots of two counts for each competitor. Lots of reversals, lots of great spots in this match. And yeah, like you say, we're not used to seeing Mo as a villain character. We knew him in the tag team Death by Chocolate with Uncle Phil Deadly, and they were huge fan favorites, and I wrestled that kind of style too. But here we see in the other territory that Mo Jabari is not a fan favorite, and is not opposed to some underhanded tactics. And it's refreshing. It's good. It's nice to see when young wrestler can walk the line between the two roles and play each one with some success. And continue to be impressed with Mo Jabari / Kid Chocolate. Really, really excellent guy and great to watch in the ring.
Yeah, and then after that, so Sidney Steele winning that matchup, he'll go on in the tournament. Very competitive, great lockup between those two. But then one that I was excited to watch, and you know, I'll give my reasons why I wasn't quite as excited by the end, and I'm not gonna knock anybody or anything, just you know, personal opinions. But damn it, man, we've said it many times before. Cheetah Bear Jude Dawkins is just awesome. I saw that he was announced for this tournament. I saw he was going to be in this tournament. His opponent, somebody I knew nothing about, Jumpin' Josh, going into this one. But I was excited to see Cheetah Bear go all the way in this thing.
Yeah, I'm also a big fan of Cheetah Bear. I love me some Cheetah Bear anytime I can watch. He's a great creation. I have no idea what kind of a creature he is. He obviously is some kind of a hybrid between man and beast. He acts like one, he wrestles like one. He's got that wonderful entrance with those loud drums that just gives me the goosebumps even just remembering it, watching it live the past couple times in the past year or two. And I just love the Cheetah Bear. His opponent was Jumpin' Josh, someone I'm also not familiar with. Obviously a very young guy, looks like he's might be just barely 20 or something like that. Did Jumpin' Josh remind you of anyone, Munson, that we've had around PPW in the past year? He reminds me of someone. You know who I'm getting at here?
I think you might be talking about a certain Jeff Tyler by chance.
Yeah, that's right. The Sky Flyer himself. This guy reminded me a lot of a young Jeff Tyler kind of thing. Doesn't have the huge physical gifts or the giant strength of the big muscles or anything like that, but very determined and very focused. And then using his light body weight to be an aerial skill master, coming off the ropes, doing dives, going over the top rope, all that kind of stuff. I think it's a good way for a smaller wrestler to make his name known, maybe to get his stuff out there. And just like Jeff Tyler did, this guy can forge a main event career or a main event run if he wants to, if he can get in the right angle. He needs some more experience and all that, but wrestling a veteran and a ring general like the Cheetah Bear will help him get there.
Oh, certainly. And you know, I was saying before we got into this that you know, I was looking forward to seeing Cheetah Bear go all the way, and this is, I hope nobody takes this as a knock on Jumpin' Josh or anything like that, but I always feel, and even like I feel about this, and I'll break the fourth wall down a bit, the fact that even in PPW, this guy, Cheetah Bear, has not been pushed like the quality of character that he is. I mean, this guy is, he's up there, man. This is a guy you can have hanging out in that upper echelon of your roster and picking up victories and stuff like that. And I just feel like there was a lot more star power to be had on this tournament as a whole with having the Cheetah Bear move forward. Of course, he loses by a count out in a spot where he kind of throws Jumpin' Josh back into the ring before the 10 count and misses his opportunity to get back in himself. I feel like there was so much hesitation in the way that move was pulled off that it almost kind of, it felt a little bit too silly to even make it believable, unfortunately, and it kind of lost me in that one moment. And, you know, maybe again, it was because I'm so sold on the Cheetah Bear and felt like it just would have been tremendous to have this guy go further that maybe I was just a little bit shocked and not in the right way, I guess, in this case, Pop Smokes. But that's just how I felt personally. It's, again, not a knock to the guys or what they're doing or about the quality of the match in general. I really feel like we're sitting on something bigger with Cheetah Bear and nobody has gone forth with it just yet.
Well, you're really knocking Jumpin' Josh here, Munson. I'm just kidding. I think what they were going for in that mat was to, it looked visually like such a mismatch between them. Like we said, Jumpin' Josh, rather a tall, thin, young man, and cheetah bear, not as tall, but with that heavily muscled body and heavily tattooed, and he just looks like a wrestler, and he looks like an extremely tough wrestler too. And I suspect what they were going for in this finish was the element of surprise. That we all assumed that the cheetah bear was going to go over in this match, and it did not. Josh got the win on him. It was a bit of a surprise, and then it just kind of leads to thoughts of, well, if this guy could surprise once, maybe he could surprise someone again in the second round. I don't know. I feel the same way about that finish a little bit, but they were going for something in the booking of that, and yeah, maybe Cheetah Bear just wants to give a hand to some of the younger guys, or wanted someone else to have that second match instead of himself, who's had plenty matches in the ring. We, again, just like booking, we don't know the inside story of it, but yeah, we got what we got, and Cheetah Bear's out, and Jumpin' Josh moving on to the next round.
Yes, sir, and that rounded up the quarterfinals, the opening matches of the tournament. So from there, a separate video was put out with the semifinal and final matches as well. So we're going to move straight into that one, Papa Smoke. So there was a recap of everything that happened from the quarterfinals, and then we kicked off with the first match in the semifinals. Again, we're getting to see Sydney Steele and taking on Tasty Travis Cole in this one. What were your thoughts on this particular matchup?
I liked this one a lot. This showed that the second round was going to be a bit of a step up from the previous round. Like you could see the kind of intensity between these two more veteran wrestlers here, and you knew that they were going to open up for a pretty long and competitive match, and that's exactly what we got. Cole's comfortable in there. Sydney Steele looks like he's got a lot of matches under his belt too. I like Sydney Steele for his heelish interactions with the crowd. Seems very comfortable with that. I think that's a huge asset to have as a professional wrestler, especially for live shows and for TV as well. He certainly knows where the hard cam is, and turns his attention to it, and has a few things to say about his own greatness, and whatever he wants to say to the camera, and that only helps get your character over in any kind of match, win or lose, if you interact with the cameras like that and say what you got to say, and the people hear you say it.
Oh, for sure. And yeah, this was a great matchup there. And again, Sydney Steele, I got to say, one of the definite standouts from this tournament for me, for somebody who I was unfamiliar with, and somebody who definitely peaks the radar level here. I'm interested in his work. I'm interested in seeing more going forth. And again, somebody I wouldn't have any issue seeing make his way over to Saskatchewan once these COVID restrictions begin to lift.
Yeah, I after the first round, I had it in my mind that maybe Sydney might win this whole thing too, and I don't think that was off the mark too much. It never ended up coming true, but I think this guy has a upper mid to top card quality to him for independent shows in Western Canada. Yeah, I could see this guy doing some bigger stuff in Alberta, and another guy I would definitely consider bringing into our own Fed here, PPW.
Definitely so. And so Travis Cole picking up the win, he is going to move on to the finals. He'll be taking on either the winner of the next match, Reed Matthews, or Jumpin' Josh. And Jumpin' Josh coming out with his new buddy, the Cheetah Bear, Jude Dawkins. So Cheetah Bear coming out to basically be the corner man this time for Jumpin' Josh in this matchup.
Yeah, see, they must have either their buddies from training or something, or they bonded during their previous match, and very sportsmanlike of Cheetah Bear to come out and support his previous opponent, the new friend, and always use a corner man in any match, especially one that's a combination of Cheetah and Bear.
Definitely. So what did you think of the match itself?
I thought it was quite good. Once again, the thickness, Reed Matthews kind of led this match a little bit, helping the younger Jumpin' Josh along, but they did some nice spots in this match. They also gave them a few extra minutes, it being a second round match, and I liked this one. Matthews eventually getting the win by submission. He did that quite a nice submission hold, that kind of bridging shoulder lock where he basically wrapped Josh's arm around his own body and pulled it while he was bridging. It's a nice submission hold, and the way he'd worked on the limbs of Jumpin' Josh during the match, that you could totally buy that this submission hold was going to bring a tap out. And that's exactly what happened. And no shame from Jumpin' Josh losing to a more experienced competitor than that. I think he put in a good showing in this tournament, but the thickness, Reed Matthews, too much for him, and he's going to the final.
He certainly is. And I almost feel like I saw the writing on the wall when Travis Cole won, that we were going to see Travis Cole and Reed Matthews in the final. I almost venture to think that maybe had you put the Jumpin' Josh Reed Matthews match on first, and I'm not telling anyone how to do their job, I'm just trying to think wrestling-like. Had you put that match on first, it might have kept a little bit more of that mystique you were talking about of can Jumpin' Josh pull off a second upset. But I think once we had established that Travis Cole was going to the finals, you kind of got that feeling at that point that we were getting Travis Cole and Reed Matthews for a final matchup in this tournament.
Yeah, I suppose so. But nonetheless, an exciting matchup and two of the big boys in this tournament going to the final. But first we had kind of a special feature match that wasn't actually part of the Southern Alberta Invitational Tournament, but simply kind of a grudge match. Is that how you took this feature match?
Yeah, I believe they referred to it as Cody Max Open Challenge, if I'm not mistaken. So
right.
We had Britton Watts taking on Crude Oil Cody Mack. And man, does Cody Mack ever kind of look like a 1990s Vince McMahon gimmick written all over him with the whole Alberta oil rigger and stuff like that? I mean, I got vibes of the old Spark Plug Holly eras and stuff that I grew up on there with this guy. I mean, maybe it was the kid in me, but I was having a little fun. I like Cody Mack. He's got a good look to him. I can get behind this gimmick. It's fun.
Yeah, I do completely. I think he looked good. I liked his gimmick. It kind of fits in with the whole Alberta oil fields thing, and I think a lot of people living out there can have a chuckle at that. He comes out with this big wrench, and he came out with a whole lot of energy and enthusiasm. Quite a lot more than the cowboy Brian Watts did. I like Cody Mack. I like what he's going here. This match, however, was kind of left me a little bit cold. It wasn't bad. It just was not to the quality of the other ones on this card. I think these guys are pretty okay. I just think they had a match that didn't really catch fire, so to speak. And yeah, this was pretty okay, but it didn't really do it for me completely. But we had the winner, Cody Mack, going over by pinfall using a jackhammer suplex. And that was pretty nice. And he got his win, and the crowd seemed pretty happy with that. So what did you think of this one?
Yeah, I think I'm with you on this one, Papa Smokes. I mean, it didn't blow my mind by any means, and nothing against the workers in the match or anything. Again, I said Cody Mack was a lot of fun, and also nothing against Bryn Watts either. I mean, it was what it was. It just kind of was that they needed to put another match on the card to kind of fill a spot so that, you know, we weren't rushing right into the finals after we just did the last semifinal matchup. So it was a good way to break up the tournament a little. But again, it didn't feel like there was enough there to really get behind or anything like that. I know with the Northern Alberta, the breakup match that they had was between Zoe Sager and I believe Taryn from Accounting. And I think that one broke things up a little bit more because it was a women's matchup in the midst of this men's tournament and stuff like that. And here again, we were just treated to another match that really could have fit into the beginning of this tournament in the first place and stuff like that. So it just really didn't fit into the where it was placed, kind of, in my opinion. There was nothing there to get too excited about. This was really just the rest period, almost.
Yeah, I just, same thing with nothing against either workers or any company or anything like that. I just think it was I just think neither of them had probably the match they were hoping for, and that happens. Sometimes it's no fault of anybody's, but maybe the chemistry doesn't work out on a certain night or between a certain couple of grapplers, and that's just it. They'll be fine. They'll go on to have better matches than that, and possibly will be there to see them too. But they got a chance to have a competitive match in a ring during the middle of this COVID when nobody's running shows and stuff. I'm sure they were thrilled about it, and I'm sure the makers of the Southern Alberta Invitational were happy to have another match to fill out their card too. So ultimately it fulfilled its purpose, so we're all good.
Exactly. So, and it fulfilled that spot to lead us into the finals of the tournament. Tasty Travis Cole and the Thickness Reed Matthews. What are your thoughts here on this final matchup between these two competitors?
Well, I thought it was set up quite nicely. They having the third match of the evening for each competitor kind of counted into it. We had Reed Matthews, who had had his back worked over in his very first match, and it was kind of questionable throughout, and these guys put on quite a show. Both of them, these guys had some chemistry together. They had a nicely laid out match. They started it just as you would in a competitive final like this, with a slugfest competition and laying some pretty hard chops on each other's chests, and having the old running and bumping each other into running the ropes and bumping each other, you know, trying to knock each other over. This was starting a match of two guys who are rivals, who maybe don't like each other a bit and are trying to have a real competition between dudes to see who's bigger and who's badder and who's the better wrestler. And the whole match kind of went like this. There was a lot of good spots. There was a lot of two counts and close calls and false finishes a few times until the ending here. And then what did you think of this finish, Munson?
Well, quite interesting to say the least. I mean, Mo Jabari coming out to create a distraction here, which then led to a full-on heel turn here for Travis Cole. I mean, he then uses the underhanded nut shot there right to his opponent Reed Matthews, and basically stealing the win, almost maybe proving the fact that the Thickness Reed Matthews more or less had this thing wrapped up had it not been for this unspoken agreement between Mo Jabari and Travis Cole.
Yeah, and this kind of came as a surprise to me. Of course, in the tournament setting, it's not really an angle, so we don't know of the backstage alliances or in-ring alliances, for that matter, between these wrestlers. So I wasn't expecting interference. I didn't know why Mo Jabari was coming out, but obviously there's something that we haven't seen, maybe some lingering feelings from a feud or something. But yeah, Mo Jabari coming out with the distraction, Travis Cole with the backwards donkey kick to the groin, Reed Matthews down for the count, and 1-2-3, we've got a Southern Alberta Invitational winner in Tasty Travis Cole.
Yeah, picking up a big victory, and what could be said was from a big match. They did a great job of making sure that you got two of the guys that are definitely these are two big names in Alberta, definitely, and starting to really make themselves known in Western Canada and stuff like that as well too. So I mean, if you want to elevate two guys that are kind of on the rise already, great opportunity to have a final match between Tasty Travis Cole and Reed Matthews, and a great way to showcase the other talent that they had involved in the tournament as well. Personally, got to say, Pop Smokes, I was entertained. I was happy to see some wrestling, especially involving people we know and people that we've, you know, come to get to know on a personal level too, working directly with some of them as well. I mean, I was extremely happy not only to watch it as a fan, but also to, you know, get the opportunity to talk about it here on the show and, you know, get to see some of the more work from these wonderful people that we've gotten to know over the years.
Yeah, and hasn't it been fun to, like we said, enjoyed the Northern Alberta Invitational last year. Loving this one, the Southern Alberta. Now I'd like to see a mixture of the two, because I suppose we knew more people from the Northern Alberta last year, including Michael Richard Blaze and and a few of our other favorites, like you were just saying. But this time around, we had some new talent, not as familiar with the Southern Alberta guys, and nice to see some new talent, some emerging talent, some guys looking pretty good in their, you know, in their rookie or early years of their career. And this is just a good way to get noticed for all these guys and to have some matches that are on TV, so to speak, on YouTube, and that are getting some people watching them and probably making some fans in the meantime and bringing more people to their live shows when we get back to that particular state. And I think it was a highly successful tournament. I hope the guys did good with it. I hope they reached their goals for it. And it's a pleasure to talk about it on the Video Bros Network.
Yeah, it certainly was. And, you know, I just want to once again say a big shout out to the guys to help to sponsor this and put this all together. You know, our good friends at Wrestling Rodeo and the Wrestle Soap podcast, head on over and check out their work. You know, like and subscribe there. Check out all of the wrestlers involved as well, too. I mean, these guys are putting on a show during a pandemic and stuff like that, doing what they can to entertain people during this time. So, you know, credit to everyone. Credit to the people working cameras, the people doing editing, any involvement with this entire show. Just, you know what, a big shout out to all of you. Thank you for putting this on. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to see these talents. Hopefully more can be done. And like Papa Smoke said, that eventually things get back to normal and we can start to see some of you guys back here in Saskatchewan as well, too. You know, open up those borders once again and get some interprovincial travel going and some shows back here in Saskatchewan as well. And hey, who knows, maybe one day we'll have an Alberta versus Saskatchewan tournament that has to happen.
Not a bad idea, Munson. Not a bad idea at all.
Well, that and if that's the case, I think that we almost have to have dueling Saskatchewan and Alberta commentary teams. So, I mean, I'm always up for the job, Papa Smokes. I think you are too. So, Alberta, be on the watch out for when COVID restrictions lift. Papa Smokes and I are thinking.
But, I like it. I like your plan a lot.
Perfect. Well, you know, Papa Smokes, now we're going to go on over to another review, and this is a review of something that we've been looking forward to for a long time. We've talked about many times on the show that we can't wait for the opportunity for the NWA to make a return in some sort of capacity, and they did it. There was an announcement coming. NWA Shockwave Episode 1 was going to be hitting YouTube. Didn't know what this was going to look like or anything much about it, just that this was going to be previously unseen matches. So I wasn't sure if this was stuff we hadn't seen that was originally taped for Power or something completely different. And wow, was it something different. A work in conjunction with the United Wrestling Network. And let's get into this, Papa Smoke. NWA Shockwave, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah. Excited to psych you up. Not everyone likes NWA Power, but I really like it. I know you like it too, so I was excited for NWA Shockwave. We've all had, all of us fans of Billy Corgan's new NWA have had a kind of worrisome last year because it doesn't look like the company has been doing that great during the shutdown. They decided not to run shows or anything like that, being responsible for the health of the competitors and fans. But, yeah, it was just a lot of their roster left to companies that are running shows. So they lost a lot of their top talent, and that's really crippling to a company. Obviously, they kept some of the main ones. The main, most important one being Nick Aldis, obviously. They're kind of a cornerstone champion there that they built the whole company around. And obviously, that's the guy they need holding the belt. He holds it with a lot of pride and prestige. But I'm just glad they kept going. If they have to make a deal with another company such as United Wrestling Network, then so be it. Just anything to keep going, keep the ship afloat. And we had Nick Aldis out here for a promo at the very beginning of NWA Shockwave. Talking about this and hyping up his title defense, which would be the main event of the show, versus Mike Bennett, formerly of WWE.
Yeah, and I mean, as I've mentioned before, too, is that Nick Aldis, I mean, he you mentioned it too. He holds this championship and needs to hold this championship. He carries himself like a real world champion, like he says he is. And you believe him. You believe everything he says. And then he goes out there and gives you great performances on top. He backs up his words with actions inside the squared circle.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this was pretty much the perfect guy for the NWA to have as their belt holder among the launch of the new brand, as I call it, I guess, the Corgan era NWA. They've got Aldis. He looks like one of those classy champions from the territories. He looks like a Ric Flair or a Nick Bockwinkle. He carries himself with pride and distinction. He wears the expensive suits. He looks like a real traveling man and a defending champion. And this guy looks great with the belt, and they got to keep him around. And they have a few other important pieces to this, and we saw a little bit of it tonight, but in this NWA Shockwave brand new edition, and they're gonna have to get some new faces in there. We didn't see too many new people in this first episode tonight. They only had three matches, but I'll be very interested to see what they do with their roster in the future, and obviously sharing talent with United Wrestling Network. I think this can only be good for the survival of the company and maybe the flourishing in the coming year.
Yeah, and we mentioned earlier when we were talking about the NWA earlier in the year too, that it would be interesting to see, you know, how they kind of deal with some of the talent that's jumped ship over to places like AEW and everything, and how they would bring new faces in. While the working alliance with the United Wrestling Network opens it right up for them. And we did get introduced to a couple of people that weren't necessarily familiar with the NWA roster, as far as I remember there, Pop Smokes, particularly our commentary team. Joe Galli is the one returning from NWA, but we also got the voices of Melissa Marino and Todd Kennelly, I believe the names were, that joined the commentary team along with Joe Galli there.
Yeah, I'm assuming that they're the commentators for United Wrestling Network, and they just had Galli in for the NWA flavor of it. And I thought the three-person team did quite well in this. They sounded good, and I look forward to hearing more from this combination.
Yeah, and what I liked about the three of them as well, too, is that they definitely they know what they're talking about. They get in there, they know the backgrounds of the competitors and stuff like that, and they made you understand, even if you're not too familiar with them inside the ring, they made you understand what the backstory is a little bit behind them and what they've done prior to that night. So they make you want to be invested into these wrestlers that are here before them. And that's when we started off the night with our first matchup. We had Eli Drake versus Jordan Cruz. What are your thoughts with this one?
I thought it was quite a nice match. First of all, I wanted to just mention about the venue they were holding it in. Wow, wasn't that a nice facility? Hey, I don't know what kind of building that was. Presumably it's the one that United Wrestling Network uses for their, they must have a TV show or tape some pay-per-views or something, but this looked like quite a pro setup. It had the lights, it had the ramp. They also did it with no or very little fans in it, but I thought the venue looked pretty slick. And then we had Eli Drake coming out against the preliminary wrestler Jordan Cruz, who looked pretty good also. And this was a pretty okay match. It's I like Eli Drake a fair amount, but it's kind of funny to watch a wrestler like him that a big part of his presentation is interacting with a crowd that isn't there too. So it's, some of that kind of looks funny when he shouts out or wants the crowd to repeat or answer his question kind of thing, and then no one does. But, I mean, what are you going to do, right? You got to still promote yourself. You got to still do your signature sayings and moves. So I don't fault Eli Drake even a little bit for that. He's quite an entertaining character and quite a good wrestler too. I like a lot of his moves. He looks like he trains hard. He looks like he works really, really hard at wrestling. And they were saying that this is his first match in quite a few months too, but it certainly didn't look like it. He put on a great show against young Jordan Cruz, ending up by getting the pinfall from his finisher, the Gravy Train. What did you think of this match?
I thought it was a fantastic way to kick off the show. Like you, I like Eli Drake. I think he works well inside that ring. And, you know, you're mentioning about the feed of the fans that he usually has. And this in particular, I actually liked how he played on this, where normally he's feeding off the fans, and I believe his words were, "I might not be able to feel you in the arena tonight, but I can feel you watching at home, so work along with me." The acknowledgement of the fact that he knows there's no people there, but acknowledges the fact that you're watching around the world at the video. I mean, it was a good play on what's going on currently and stuff like that, without making it look silly. At the same time, he was able to promote himself while at the same time, you know, kind of poking fun at the fact that it's like, yeah, a lot of this shit's being done with nobody around to see it.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. Maybe I was a little bit harsh at first, but yeah, I think you're quite right. A guy like Eli Drake connects with the fans. The fans connect with him, and that was a nice move. And this match looked really good.
Yeah,
like, some of the COVID-era wrestling we've watched So without fans and such, I thought this was one of the better presentations in this United Wrestling Network building. I thought it looked pretty good on TV, I must say.
Yeah, and I like the way that they handle the camera shots and stuff like that, too. It often didn't necessarily feel like an empty arena. Like, I know we had a show, we talked about empty arena matches and stuff like that, and these guys are starting to pick up on the idea of how to do this without making it feel like the arena is empty all the time. And I really like the way that some of these companies, especially these guys, are handling the way of doing that.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Munt, and I think I never thought about that. I think you're right that they're getting the hang of how to do this and not to look flat or not to look quiet, but to still get your stuff over and still hype up the people watching, even if you're not getting the actual crowd reaction from in that room. I think the wrestlers are having to put themselves in the position or at least able to think of the fans watching at home, hyping them up too. It sucks because the wrestler doesn't get the immediate reaction back. We all know that energy like that flows between performers and the crowd back and forth, back and forth. We've seen that at live shows that we've worked many, many times. But, everything's more difficult this way. But as you can see, that some of these wrestlers are adapting to it nicely. And, a chatterbox like Eli Drake is going to be one of the guys that can adapt to that, I think.
Definitely so. It was great to see him. Great to see him back. And great matchup. Great win for Eli Drake. Looking great. So moving on from there.
Yeah, moving on from there. Okay, we got a ladies match next. We've got Camille versus the Killer Bay, Heather Monroe. Now, Camille, we're quite familiar with from NWA Power. She's Camille Brickhouse. Very large and powerful, statuesque woman. I watched during quarantine as she decided to do a bodybuilding competition and watching on social media her trials and tribulations of working out hard and dieting hard. And I think that must be so incredibly difficult to do, but she did a nice job and God, her physique is even more impressive than it used to be. She's a pretty tall lady. She's 6 feet tall or something like that. She's a former football player and a legit athlete from when she was younger in school and all that. And Camille's a monster. I think she's still fairly green in the wrestling world, but coming along nicely. This match, in fact, was, of course, the most recent work of hers I've seen. I haven't seen Camille do a lot of ring work yet, and this wasn't too bad. There's some work to be done, but with a more experienced opponent like Heather Monroe, I thought Camille did pretty good, and they had a nice 12-minute match here, and I think it got both competitors over pretty nicely.
Yeah, and I think I'm sitting right where you are with this one, too. It's like Camille, very familiar with her work as the ringside person for Nick Aldis, the real world champ there. And then, starts to get into this bodybuilding, and you talk about how she is a real athlete. I mean, she definitely looks the part. I mean, this woman looks like a physical specimen inside that squared circle. She is built like a wrestler. She is built for that ring. Definitely, I even marked it down that there's work to be done. She's obviously green, obviously new to this. Give it time. I think she's going to be quite the competitor inside the squared circle. And like you said, having the experience of Heather Munro there to carry this one through, we were treated to something that was very entertaining. It was a good, solid matchup and a good way to continue to push Camille in the direction that they're looking to do with her.
Yeah, exactly. And we talked about the inexperience of Camille, but when you look at what there could be developing out of this person, Camille, I mean, look at the pieces she's got. Like we say this, she's got size, she's got muscularity, she's got the intense, mean face look and everything. I think a lot of the pieces are there to make a good, strong lady wrestler, to be one that's with massive size and strength and invulnerability, kind of one of those like a monster heel type character, because of her physical size and because of her athleticism. I can only see her getting better as an in-ring grappler too, and it'll be interesting to watch. I like centering in on someone when they're at the beginning of their career, because then you get to see the progression of not only how they start, but how they come along, and then where they're headed in this pro wrestling business. And we know Camille dates Thomas Latimer, the wrestler. She's fully into the wrestling world now, and I could see her getting a lot of tutelage from some more experienced stars. And I think just the only direction for Camille is up. But like you say, there's some work to be done in the meantime. And that's completely fine. She'll work on it. She's worked on a lot of stuff already, and I only see her getting better in the future.
Well, and I like the build of the story too, Pop Smokes. Like she starts as a valet manager, whatever. She has been doing everything to earn her spot as a wrestler. I mean, doing the bodybuilding, doing the training, doing everything of all this dedication, and her dedication to the business as well too. And then she comes in, and she doesn't look like someone who was just a valet at ringside that's been pushed into a ring role. This looks like someone who belonged in the ring before and has that athlete background to begin with. And now she's slowly transitioning into that ring role, working with the right people and getting that build to the one time where she will eventually become, you know, up there on the roster with whoever she stays with, whether it's NWA, UWN, or moves on to one of the bigger companies. As long as she's handled correctly the way she has been, I can see in a few years this being one of the top lady stars of professional wrestling.
For sure. And I think NWA has been taking it slow with her, which I think is a good thing. And we see far too many wrestlers these days thrust onto television when they're not finished training yet and they're not ready for that. I don't even want to name names in the WWE, but they and AEW, but they have some extremely crappy wrestlers, or should I just not say crappy, but inexperienced wrestlers that are on TV way too early because they have a look or because they have an interesting gimmick. But wow, like even some of those people in the WWE are clearly not ready for TV yet, and it just boggles my mind at how many people they must have on their roster, and still they have these inexperienced people on TV. But getting back to the point of Camille, they started her slow. Do you remember one of the first physical spots she did in ring was hitting that spear on Tim Storm, that beautiful football tackle that just took the big man and busted him right in half. It was really quite a nicely done spot, and I thought, wow, this girl, Camille, is going to be a ladies' champ in the NWA one of these days, and I still believe it. So, yeah, just bring her along slowly. Make sure she's trained properly and is learning the psychology of matches, and No problem. You'll have a superstar in your hands.
Well, exactly. So big win for Camille there, and great things that we're going to get to see from her, and not the last we'll see of her in the entire night. So moving on from there, now we had Nick Aldis's promo earlier in the night. Now it's time to hear from Mike Bennett. Did Mike Bennett's promo win you over here, Papa Smokes?
No, not really, to be honest. I got to admit a certain bias about Mike Bennett. I kind of know who this guy is from WWE. As you know, I don't watch modern WWE hardly at all, but I know who this guy is. Kind of a lower to mid-card comedy dude, and he's stuck around unhappily longer than he should have, and had some pretty crappy matches in WWE. And I honestly was expecting nothing from this guy when I heard that he was going to be the next big challenger to Aldis's NWA title. I was kind of nonplussed by this, and then I saw this promo, and I mean, it's obvious he's done a lot of promos before, but this didn't knock me out really. He seemed a little awkward in his verbiage, and I went into this match really not expecting all that much. But what did you think of the promo?
I'm with you on the promo. Again, it's a similar promo we've heard from Mike Bennett before. It's a similar promo we've heard from a lot of wrestlers before. I do it for my family. I need to do it for my family. And you've heard it once, you've heard it a thousand times. And when holding up against someone the level of Nick Aldis, this didn't necessarily sell me on, I'm pumped to see what Mike Bennett brings to the table in this matchup here tonight. Now, that being said, that's not how I felt after the night was over entirely at the same time. So why don't we just get past Mike Bennett's promo? That was it was serviceable, but just not very fitting for the show, and get right on to Nick Aldis versus Mike Bennett, the matchup itself, Pop Smokes, where I feel that Mike Bennett sold me a little bit more than what his words did.
No, I got to agree with you there too. That's why I wanted to set it up like that, is because I had a bit of a bias against him going in. I didn't think much of this promo, to be honest. I'm also sometimes skeptical of people who get fired from WWE but then continue using the gimmick that they had in WWE. I just don't like that. I like it when people leave there and then reinvent themselves. A recent example of that would be EC3. This was a guy that was, like Bennett, frustrated in a company that was underusing him and not using him the way he wanted to be used, and not getting the matches and the talent that he wanted and everything. So when he finally got his release, started reinventing himself into a new character and making promos and building this new reinvented character. But this is not what Bennett is doing. So this is part of my skepticism going into this match, is that this guy's just going to try and keep milking this cow that's dry now from WWE, that you don't work there anymore, man, and you don't have to do their stuff anymore. I would assume that he was not happy with his spot there because of how they were using him, but then he's going to just continue the same gimmick because that's how people know him in the indies. And I don't know, it strikes me as weird. He even has a changed appearance too. He's got his beard shaved off and his head shaved bald. But so I was expecting something different from this guy. But having said all that, you wanted to get into the match, and this match changed my mind completely. This match was really good. Bennett was really good in it, as well as Aldis, and yeah, completely erased a lot of my skepticism.
Yeah, and I mean, it kicked off in a high gear, and it got messy off the start, and not in a bad way. I'm not saying messy like this was a bad thing. I mean, things spilled to the outside, and it got ugly to the point where Aldis grabbed the championship, looked like he was gonna go and give Mike Bennett what for by smacking him with the Sweet Charlotte there, and that's when Maria Kanellis stepped in and kind of inserted herself there, trying to plead with Aldis to not go and do this to her husband and stuff like that. And that's when, again, we got the reappearance of Camille as well. And I started thinking in my head, well, here's a perfect opportunity. I'm thinking, is this going to end in a draw of some sort? Are we going to see a no contest and inevitably get this intergender tag team? Regardless of the fact that that's not the case, and we'll get to the finish in a little bit here, I still feel that that's maybe where they're leading is possibly, a one-on-one with Camille and Maria Kanellis. Also, or sorry, I say Kanellis, Bennett, I believe is their actual last name now. I'm used to her with the WWE going under the name Kanellis, which I believe is her maiden name, but Maria versus Camille. And then they can use that intergender tag team and inevitably lead up to a rematch between Bennett and all this. And I think we were saying before this went on the air, I said it wouldn't even hurt to have it as a it, this is your last shot, Bennett. Like, shit or get off the pot. Do you either win the championship or this will be your last time fighting for it?
And like having said what I did about his still using his WWE gimmick, it kind of worked for this match a little bit in the way that, him and Maria were both saying like, we need this win. Like our family needs this win. They always have that smell of desperation around them, and it made for an interesting element to the match. Like you said, it got messy in a big hurry. Bennett came up like a wrestler that's completely desperate to get this win at any cost. He came out flying. We saw him. He threw that hard spear at Aldis and missed and hit the referee, which put the referee out of the match for a while. But it was nicely booked. You could see that, geez, I was going to call Mike Kanellis now. No, it's Mike Bennett. He came out with that desperation and that fire, like he wanted to maybe try and put all this away early, like he wanted to get that 1-2-3 no matter what happened. And it made for a nice match. I liked the pacing of it. It started off frenetically, and then they were brawling with the referee down. They brawled throughout the crowd. Aldis gave Bennett that tombstone pile driver on the ramp.
Yeah.
And that was quite a dramatic spot, and Bennett was down for a long time, and that's when the little spot that you talked about came on, where Maria was trying to protect her husband, and Aldis trying to assault him further, and then Camille coming out and intervening. But I thought Maria played her part well in it, and Bennett made the comeback after you thought he might have been out of this match, and it went on from there. It was a 20-minute title match, and this was pretty good stuff. Like I say, I was a little bit biased going into this. I didn't really have huge hopes that this would be a good match, but in fact, it was quite an excellent match. I'm happily mistaken about that.
Yeah, and I 100% agree with you. Happily mistaken as well too. I was never really on the Mike Bennett bandwagon of any sorts. I won't say that I'm on the Mike Bennett bandwagon now, but I can get behind the idea of Mike Bennett having a short feud here against Nick Aldis, and then after that's all said and done, I think Mike Bennett will actually look good coming out of this whole thing, even without having to capture the NWA Championship. He can come out of this thing looking like someone who gave, that fight to the real world champion Nick Aldis here, come out looking good, and then maybe move himself into a role where he finds himself among the upper mid card, possibly working with some of the other championships that are kicking around in places like NWA and stuff like that, maybe even MLW. I mean, there's definitely something you could do with this guy, and not to the level of putting him into the prelim matches or completely off your card like he was having done to him over in the WWE.
No, this is completely different now, and he doesn't have to rot on the undercard in these smaller federations. He can be a star here, and I gotta say he impressed me in this outing, not only for his wrestling and his ring psychology, but it's just obvious the guy's a very serious wrestler too. Here's another guy with the absolutely great physique too, and that always impresses me when people are willing to put in that extremely hard work and sacrifice to get a ripped and muscular body like that. And Bennett looking awesome, and I thought he was good in this match, and he may have made a partial fan out of me Out of nothing at all there, and I mean that's what every wrestler is trying to do is turn the fans so that they like and respect you, and he did that in this one match for me. So yeah, like I say, I'm happily mistaken. This was quite a good match. Aldis also looked impressive in this. Almost lost his title a couple of times, but managed to get that cloverleaf submission hold on Bennett. Refused to give up, had his wife cheering him on, cheering him, trying to get him to the ropes. He tried, but Aldis had too much gas left in his tank, dragged him out into the middle in that cloverleaf submission, and Bennett passed out and was declared out by the referee. That's the end of the match. Aldis retains Bennett back to the drawing board, but hey, he made a couple of fans out of us tonight, and probably quite a few more other people, so a victory in his book, too, I'd say.
Yeah, and the fact that he didn't actually tap out, he passed out, it's always a way to make a guy look strong, so, I mean, he can even utilize that, saying that, you know, Nick Aldis made him pass out, but he sure didn't make him give up at the same time, and that really helps to sell Mike Bennett moving forward, so... Yeah, like you said, made a fan out of us, especially on this night, and hopefully that he continues down this path. Maybe lose a little bit of the It's All for the Family promo eventually. That could be dropped here, and start focusing on maybe how tough he is when he gets in there, and he really is passionate about winning championships and winning wrestling matches, because I can get behind a passionate Mike Bennett who doesn't tap out to a guy who doesn't give up. I mean, that's... that's the kind of wrestler I can get behind. I think that pushing him in that direction will do wonders for his career.
Yeah, totally true. I think a guy of this stature, of this experience, of this look, he's a handsome guy. He's got a great body. He's quite a good wrestler. I don't think he really even needs that gimmick. I think it's good for him to bring Maria out to the ring. I always enjoy seeing Maria. I'm not going to deny that. But I think she's a good ring second for him to cheer him on outside. She looks awesome. The fans all know her. She's beautiful. All the rest of that stuff. That part's good. But yeah, I agree with you. I don't think he needs to carry on this tired gimmick in yet another company. I think he's got the skill and the look just to be Mike Bennett, a kick-ass wrestler that's got a beautiful wife that seconds him to the ring. What more do you need, really, right? I don't think he needs any more than that.
Exactly, and if they can do that with him, I look forward to the great things that we're going to get. So that was NWA Shockwave Episode 1, I guess, and Papa Smokes, are you sold on wanting to continue to watch NWA Shockwave after this one?
I am. I liked Power a lot, partly for the venue and that old Georgia Championship Wrestling ring, and I liked the way they had the fans there, and I liked the podium that they did the promos at, et cetera, but like I say, I want this company to continue. I want Billy Corgan to finally get some joy in wrestling. This guy's had the worst luck. He loves wrestling. All he wants to do is have a company succeed in that. He's bought into the NWA, and I just wish he could catch a break, you know, after he bought into TNA and was screwed around by Dixie Carter so bad and screwed out of so much money. And I'm surprised he didn't just leave the business after that, but I respect the guy. He obviously loves wrestling. He's had a real hard go of it in the business over the last, whatever it is, 10 or 12 years. He's never really got the success that he's craved. But during this COVID thing, I feared that they would shut down. But I like this. They're going to partner with some friends over at United Wrestling there. And maybe this could be the kick in the ass that this promotion needs to get its product out to a few more fans, get its roster over. Continue with Aldis as the classy champion and everything, and I honestly think if more fans get their eyeballs on this product, they will like it, and I just wish them success. I hope this is the combination that they need here, working during the pandemic until we can get to live crowds again. And yeah, I wish them all the best. I'm going to keep watching and giving my support from here.
Yeah, me as well too. And I mean, it was a big double whammy for me. I've always been a big fan of Billy Corgan, going back to my younger years with listening to the Smashing Pumpkins. And just gotta say, they just dropped a new album, and the kid and me not only got to enjoy that, but also some good old classic wrestling, both thanks to Billy Corgan. So, you know, great work that he continues to do, both in the wrestling industry and the music industry as well too. Very fascinating individual that I'm sure one day will warrant an entire episode of Ring Respect of his own further down the years here and stuff like that too. So wonderful to see the NWA back. Great alliance with the United Wrestling Network, and I'm definitely looking forward to another edition of NWA Shockwave and what they hold for the future. It's going to be wonderful. I'm glad to see good wrestling again here in 2020. I was starting to think we weren't going to get any Papa Smokes, and now we're just getting a mittful of it right at the end of the year. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm so relieved and so happy. I like doing this format on Ring Respect Radio too, is doing some reviews of some current shows. This is fun for me. This keeps us watching the new products and watching and analyzing, and then, you know, just trying to do our small part in promoting the products that we like, promoting some of the wrestlers that we support, and getting the word out there to more people that there's some good stuff beyond the big giant companies. That keep it on the independent scale, and watch some of the new stars coming up before they're stars, and just enjoy the product for what it is. Enjoy it for you could go over the matches, you can analyze them, see which ones you like, see which ones you think work or don't work, and talk to us about it at Ring Respect Radio. Drop your comments, tell us what you think too, and we're always happy to interact with the fans and hear what they think too. And maybe some of you disagree with us too, that's fine, tell us. And the best thing that can come out of it is more discussion and more opinions being jockeyed around in an adult fashion. All this stuff can be discussed. So just as we're doing tonight, yeah, bring it up to us anytime on social media, and we're willing to talk about this stuff with you.
Yeah, definitely. So make sure to follow us on all social media. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram as well too. And also go to make sure you follow all our friends, Backbreaker Media, Wrestling Rodeo, Wrestling Soad, and all the wrestlers involved with the Alberta Invitational there that we reviewed earlier in the show. And, you know, like we said, check out NWA Shockwave if you haven't checked them out already. You know, if you checked out NWA Power and were not interested in that type of style, we promise you NWA Shockwave is completely different and deserves a second look from any of the skeptics that didn't enjoy the nostalgia look that NWA Power brought to the table. This is a more modern feel with a definitely more sport-like feel to it, kind of like what MLW is doing in some sense of the word as well too. So very entertaining, very enjoyable, great wrestling overall. But that's going to bring a wrap to this episode of Ring Respect Radio. We thank you once again for tuning in. Make sure to like and subscribe as always. Thank you once again for all your dedication to what Papa Smokes and I do. We appreciate it through everything. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we look forward to hearing from you again soon. Goodbye, everybody.